Okay. Well, maybe it's just a dead slide. All right. So, obviously, register now. The price is going to be going up at the end of the month. Okay, we also, executive directors in the company have created teams of 15 people to compete for prizes and recognition and stuff. How you're, now, some of you may be on a team, some of you may not be on a team, but even if you're not on a team, you're still eligible for some recognition and prizes if you're in the open line of the, if the upline executive director's team does win, you actually win too. So everybody is still on a team somewhere. And so you want to pay attention how they get points. They get points from recruiting people, from Fast Start training, from being in Performance Club, and, again, helping other people, frontline or place, the Fast Start qualify. And, again, all the, I'm going through this fast. The information is in your back office if you want to go through it thoroughly. Here's some of the things that they're giving away. I mean, wouldn't you expect that Mr. Hodges would hook us up with something from Bose? I'm glad it was Bose and not Sears. Here's a new rake. There you go. Good to work. All right. We're all on somebody's team somewhere, so, you know, everyone in this room can help win if they just pitch in and work a little bit harder. You have more chances to win because in addition to competing for the overall Destiny Quest Challenge, Legal Shield is now offering additional opportunities for your team to be victorious. So you have four chances to win instead of just one chance. Each month during the Destiny Quest contest, which runs from January through March 31st, the top seven teams will earn a special prize. The top seven will be accounted for on the basis of their total team points for the month only. January winners will be announced in February and so on and so forth. Some of the some of the prizes that they're giving away: January's prize, travel accessories case; February's will be an in-flight carry-on bag; and March's prize will be leather rolling duffel bag. Really nice stuff out there. Again, everyone out here can get out there and help your team win. The incentive for new people just coming on board right now: first of all, enroll one new member and receive your access to your associate benefits plan. If you're not familiar with what that is, again, there's brochures in the back. Number two, recruit one new Fast Start associate with a membership and earn a free registration to Oklahoma City. You know, I'm not eligible for that. I still have to buy my ticket full price. So if you're brand new, you get literally over $100 value right there. You get into the event just by simply going out there and one new Fast Start associate. But they've that ends this month. January 31st is the deadline for that. Get Fast Start qualified and get promoted. Get 50 bonus bucks. And bonus bucks are what you can use at the Legal Shield store. So at LegalShield.com, they sell some different supplies and stuff like that. You can use those 50 bonus bucks in their back office to buy things there. So they have, you know, blankets and mugs and pens and different gifts and stuff like that that you can purchase there. So that's what those $50 for. So you have over $225 value that you can receive simply for getting out there and Fast Start qualifying. We have different recruiting calls that we've done for different backgrounds and stuff that are still on recorded that you can listen to, but every couple weeks they're putting up a new one. The first half of the month has been for networkers, and the second half of the month are entrepreneurs. So if you know someone who's an entrepreneur out there, they're a little bit more business oriented and stuff like that, you definitely now have a reason to call them and say, hey, look, I was thinking of you because our company's running a special just for people like you, and then get them on those calls. Again, the archived call phone number and the current call number, and all this information is still on your website if I'm going too fast for you to take notes on everything. The basic training is being completely redone. They started out just kind of tweaking it a little bit, and then they got, you know, the masterminds, the top leaders in the company together, and what started out as just a little tweaking project became a complete overhaul. It has been Mr. Hodges' pet project for quite some time now, and it is, they're going to be certifying the trainers at the end of this month and being released soon thereafter, and so you're going to want to be looking for when we launch that, the new training. It's very interactive, and Mr. Hodges will explain the difference. He touched on this last night at dinner between some of the training programs he had at Sears that people, he had four different groups of people, but group number four basically outperformed groups one, two, and three combined simply because they used a different technique for group number four, and they're applying those techniques here with our company. I'm excited to see how they look. And this is going to be some of the fire didn't work. This is just a little peek at some of the slides that you're going to see in there, some of the things. There's going to be new design, new content, new videos, new participation guides, a new presenter guide. So here's some of the stuff that you'll see. Basic training course, learning objectives. You're going to summarize why your personal why for joining the business, explain the product, describe how the compensation is earned, and use the system to leverage experts and live events. This is, again, the time running time frame. It's going to take about 3 hours to get through this entire training, so it's not going to be covered on the night of the briefing or a weekly training or something. It's going to be a totally separate event that you're going to want to attend with your brand new people, and it is jam-packed. Truthfully, in talking with Mr. Hodges, he said you could easily spend 5 hours on this stuff if you don't stay on task and keep moving through it. It is jam-packed with powerful learning information. Again, more stuff out of the new training here, how to create your why, the membership, explaining the membership a little bit better out there so that your prospects understand how to use it, what it covers, what it doesn't cover. One of the biggest reasons why people drop their membership is simply it wasn't explained to them properly. It was misrepresented out there. Okay. Again, more information about what it covers. The compensation, understanding how to explain the compensation and how to get into Performance Club, the benefits plan, Power 20, understanding different hypothetical examples on what you would make if you had a few different people on your team, marketing just a few sales. I mean, you look up here, you've got, you know, this person doing one sell, three sells, one sell. I think we can all agree that'd be easy to find. You know, people doing one sell a month. It's not a huge number, but you'll notice over here, you know, the amount of money that you start making when you add in your total sales with their sales. Out there you do a few sales, they do a few sales here. You know, $700, an extra $700 a month starts to make a big difference to a family today. You'll also use the system to support and grow your business, discuss the exposure process, and take steps to implement the process, build and sort your prospect list, and contact and invite people to learn about the product and or opportunity. We found it interesting that there was, over the years, there's been some fine tweaks to the 10 core commitments, and when they started polling some of the different areas, there were six different versions of the 10 core commitments that were floating around out there. And so just to set the record straight, we've redone it completely. It's pretty much the same building blocks that we're always used to, but now we've got the correct version out there that's on the back office to download and for people to view, and we want to just make sure everyone's on the same page so they understand the system that's out there. We got a quick video clip, about a 3-minute video clip from Mr. Darnell Self.
Today I'd like to talk about some people that are sometimes strategically placed in your life called dream stealers. Now they may be cleverly disguised as some of your best friends, your family, and or your acquaintances. And I don't believe that they don't want you to succeed. I believe that sometimes people think you cannot succeed based on their own lack of success or experience in this industry. So they say things like, well, I didn't succeed, so you can't succeed. And it may not be the same company, may not be the same environment, may not be the same experience as what you're going to have. So people say things like, well, you know, I tried the gym, but it didn't work for me. No, you bought the membership, but you never worked out. So you can't say the gym doesn't work. Some folks never actually engage in the thing that they say they're going to commit to. So they've never even gone to a training. They don't even know the number one money earner, which shows that they've never really embraced the system that they say they want to succeed in. Or they don't have experience as an entrepreneur or business owner, no experience in our industry. ministry. So they don't understand short-term pain for long-term gain. They don't understand in the beginning, you got to do some things you don't get paid for. So in the end, you get paid for things you no longer do. I like to say it this way. You can always count the number of seeds that are in an apple, but you can never count the number of apples that are in a seed. So people look at where you are today, but they have no idea you're preparing something for your generation and the generation to come. And so don't buy into other people's opinions, because if you buy other people's opinions, we buy their lifestyle. Or sometimes only because they don't have enough examples in their life. Otherwise, they would say, oh yeah, my cousin made $1 million from home. Or my ex-coworker walked away from their job because they made millions from home. But because people don't have examples to lean on, they say things to you like you can't succeed. This is like my father. He used to always say, well, Darnell, did you make $1 million yet? You're a millionaire yet? I'm like, I've been in for 3 months, Dad. You've been working for 30 years and not a millionaire yet. No, I didn't say that because that's my father. Anyway, it's just exciting to be a part of an environment where you do have support. You do have examples that are here to show us that we can do it too. So it wasn't my father's fault. He never had examples. People say this all the time. Well, your great-grandfather was a plumber. Your grandfather was a plumber. Your father was a plumber. What's wrong with being a plumber? Well, nothing's wrong with being a plumber unless you don't want to be one. So be careful buying the opinions of your family, friends, and neighbors. And sometimes it's strangers. People don't even know you, and they're trying to talk you out of your dreams. You know, folks have never even played the game. Why would you listen to a coach that's never played the game? And so all I'm saying is use the dream stealers to fuel you, not to stop you, to make you go further. And there's sometimes there'll be people beside you when you start your journey that won't be there long term. This is why they say it's lonely on the road to success. Not because other people aren't on that road, but sometimes not the same people that started that path or that journey or that road with you. And so sometimes you look to your left or you look to your right, and it's not the same people that started with you, but you ought to keep going. Don't be rigid where you have to hold on to the same people. Be willing to let some people go. It's the only way you can walk into where you need to go. And so I tell you that some people that help you to get to one level won't be the same people to help you get to your next level. So stay strong, stay focused. Even when the dream stealers come and cloud your vision, use your faith for your family, for your finances, and for your future. And I look forward to seeing you all over the top.
Let me give you a quick example on how accurate that is, and you never know where your dream stealers are going to come from. I was asked to compile some pictures of a friend that had passed away, and was in this business. A lot of you guys know who I'm talking about. And I was going through all my old photos, putting together pictures of different trips and things that he and I had gone on. And we do, in our team, we do a four-wheeling retreat every fall in September where all the execs get together and we go, you know, ride a few hundred miles on four-wheelers, stay in nice cabins, good food. It's just a really good bonding time in the fall. And I was looking through all these photos, all the years that we've been going, and saw that, you know, that first year's trip that we went, and I saw the guys that were there, and I was looking at it, it's like, I noticed that a few of them aren't with us anymore. And I just think, man, here's guys that were, you know, this close to the ring or this close to success in life, and for one reason or other, they've given up. They let somebody else steal their dream, and they bought into that. And last week I was in California, going down there to do some business, and called one of these guys that was on the very first trip with me. And said, hey, I'm in town, I'm doing some group business. Would you mind just coming and helping me out a little bit? And he's like, yeah, I can. I remember how the plan goes. I'm doing a group enrollment. I need someone to help hand out new member kits at the end for me because it's a big group. I need some help. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, and I'll give you 20% of the apps just for standing there handing out new member kits. And so he's like, okay. And so he said, text me your address. I'll come pick you up in the morning and take you over there. And he texted me this address, and the address was a business. And I got to the business, and I texted him, like, dude, I'm here. Where are you at? He said, oh, you're here? I'll be down there in a little bit. And he was too embarrassed to text me where he lived, so he texted me a business address a block away. And he came, and he went with me to the group, and we did the group. And at the end of the group, I was like, all right, go ahead and put your name and associate number on this many apps because that's what you get for helping me. He goes, really, Dave, could you just give me cash? I really just need it all in cash, like today. I can't even wait. We pay daily. I can't wait to mail them in and get paid tomorrow. I need the money today. I'm like, well, let's just run by a bank and I'll get you the cash and just give it to you today. And it was sad to see that here's what was one of my leaders that got sidetracked. Somebody else told him this business doesn't work. And so he left a thriving good business to go try something else. And now he's tried three or four or five other things since then. And now he's bumming a couch off of somebody else and just squatting in their house. And here we are, you know, he could be easily making hundreds of thousands of dollars. But like Mr. Self said, your dream stealers show up in many different forms. Sometimes they're family, sometimes they're friends. Sometimes they're the leaders on your team. He was a leader on my team. And yet someone stole his dream, so he tried to steal other people's dream. And hopefully, you know, he saw what happened to that group. He saw in 15 minutes we made more money than he's made in months. And hopefully he doesn't take too long to right the ship and jump back in and get going. But very powerful experience about the dream stealers that are out there, and they do sneak up on you in all different life forms. The basic training, again, we're going to have certification for those trainers the end of this month. They'll be getting the new materials out. The new training classes will start as soon as we get the materials. And we'll do during 2013, this is when everyone will be going through this new training. Last month, we talked about setting goals for the upcoming year. And I asked each and every one of you to set some goals and asked you to email me your goals. I'd really like to, you know, help keep contact with you and help you stay on path and stuff. And not one person in the whole state sent me any goals. Not one. So you don't need to look to your neighbor and say, did you do it? Because they're going to look back and say, well, no, but you didn't either. I'm still going to encourage you. Set some goals. Write some things down that you want to accomplish and email them to me. So that, you know, a month or two from now, I can call you and just say, hey, look, I was just looking through that email of your goals. I just want to know, how are you doing? Are you on track? Can I help you out? What can I do? I can't help you hit your goal if you don't even know what the goal is. So I'm going to encourage you to do it. So did you write them down? Are they specific and measurable? Did you assign a deadline to them? Are you committed to achieving them? Are you willing to reach your destiny in 2013? Are you going to sell out 100% to achieve those goals? So our action plan is real simple. We want to sell more and we want to recruit more in 2013 than we ever have in this business. And I believe we have the right tools, we have the right leadership, we have the right events. We have a wonderful business briefing up in Layton that you can plug into at the Fairfield Marriott. Tuesday nights, fabulous. Mr. Lucas and Shayla Hill do an incredible job up there. We also have luncheons up in that marketplace. Go to UtahLegalShield.com to see all of those. And then Thursday nights, we have over at the Salt Lake Community College, we have a briefing and a training over there taught by $250,000 ring earner, Mr. Chris Hughes. Again, we have luncheons in Utah County and Salt Lake County. Go to UtahLegalShield.com to see where and when all of those events are. I'm not going to tell you who our next Super Saturday guest is at this point. That will be coming up at the end of the event today. And with that said, my part of the presentation is done. We need to plug in Mr. Hodges. So we're going to take about a 2-3 minute break. So if you needed to get something at the tool table or we're going to get a drink or something like that, we're going to take just about 3 minutes because we need to do audio equipment change. And then we'll be back here in about 3 minutes. So we'll see you back here in 3 minutes. It's time to get going. If you can find your way back to your chairs. We're very, very fortunate that we have someone from the corporate office here today to share with us a little glimpse of what 2013 is going to look like. And when I found out we were lucky enough to get Mr. Hodges in town, We not only had the dinner. By the way, did you guys enjoy the food last night at that place? I thought that was fabulous food. If you're ever lucky enough to go to one of the dinners before the Super Saturday, I'm going to strongly encourage you, show up. It's not very often that we invite everybody to come. Usually there's a requirement. Next month there will be a requirement to come to the event. But last night, because it was short notice, we didn't nail things down until the last minute. We just said, you know what, we're going to invite everybody out to this event. But I love the food. We had our own private banquet room where we could talk. But we really got to hear, you know, some of the things from Mr. Hodges that were amazing. But yesterday, the ring earners in the state got together with Mr. Hodges for a luncheon where it was, you know, what I'm just going to say, big boy talk. And it just really built my belief level so much in the leadership that we have here and the direction our company is headed and what the next few years are going to be like. And we're fortunate, guys. A lot of places in America would love to have Mr. Hodges there, but he's here in Utah. So would you all give it up for Mr. Patrick Hodges?
I appreciate that very much. It is exciting to be out in Utah. I enjoy coming out and have some family in the area that spent a lot of my money going to college. BYU. I have two kids at BYU and one at BYU Idaho.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about!
So I'm able to see them while I'm out here, so that's always an added bonus. But the reason I'm here is to spend some time with you and share some things. I really don't know what to share with you because I don't know much about you, to be honest. So if it's okay with you, now I'm a professional trainer. And professional trainers, when they stand up in front of a new group, they have to kind of feel out the audience, get to know them a little bit. Because depending on how you react to some things might dictate how I present or even what I present today. So would it be okay with you if I engage you in some audience experiments just to get started?
Yes!
Okay. It would help me a lot. So what I would like to do is engage you in a couple of audience experiments. So I need your help. The first one is called spin. Now, some of you may have difficulty with this. It's okay. But if you're comfortable doing it, would you please stand? And if that's inconvenient for you, don't worry about it. Just stay seated. But if you can, please stand. What I'm going to ask you to do is make, when I say go, I want you to please make one complete spin where you're standing to your right. Okay, so to your right, a spin. Ready? Please go. Wow, that was actually pretty good. Okay, great. Thanks very much. Now, I think you're ready for the next level. So we're going to go to two complete spins in the opposite direction. Okay, would you please spin? Great. Okay. Thank you. So, some of you had to reach out and touch your neighbors just then, so that's great. But thanks very much. All right. Now what we would like to do is take it up a little bit further. As long as you're still standing, we're going to move to an experiment called North. So what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes, and this is for safety purposes. Wherever you are, please close your eyes and point to wherever you think North is. And don't look around. Okay, now just for clarity, up is not north. Okay, but keep your eyes closed, point to wherever you think north is. All right, now, keep your eyes closed. If you're absolutely certain that you're wrong, you can sit down. Everybody else, keep your eyes closed and keep pointing. All right, now next group. If you're pretty sure you're wrong, but there's a slight chance you might be right, go ahead and sit down. All right, now, if you're pretty sure you're right, but you're not absolutely certain, go ahead and sit down. All right, now, those of you that keep your eyes closed, you are still standing, are absolutely convinced that you are pointing to north. So the rest of you can open your eyes. All right, so we've got a few different norths in Utah. But actually, most of you are pointing a particular direction. You can sit down now. Thank you very much.
Well, we should be pointing at BYU.
So, are there any Eagle Scouts in the room? You raise your hand first. Would you mind coming up and helping me for just a second? Now, remember which direction you were all pointing. And you were absolutely certain that you were pointing to north. Would you mind telling the audience which way is actually north? That way. Okay. Thank you. What was your name?
Clint Walker.
Clint Walker. Thanks. Give Clint a hand. Interesting. Interesting. All right. Actually, Clint, could you come back up here for just a second? You're fairly new in the business, right? Would you? Yesterday. Wow, that's pretty new. Come up. All right. Clint, would you be willing to help me with the next experiment? All right. I'm going to ask you to participate in one more experiment, and this one's called Ovation. All right. Now, what I want you to do is, you've been clapping throughout the day, and you've been happy to see some people, but I want you to clear your minds for a second. Let's pretend Clint Walker is about to be coming up on stage, and he's just done something incredible. Do you have a dream? Or have you been in the Olympics? Are you a gold medalist or anything?
I have lots of dreams. I'm an aspiring UFC fighter.
Okay. But you've never been like a national champion or a gold medalist or president of the United States? Or
Not yet.
All right. Well, pick.
So pick
in your mind. Help me out here. Pick in your mind, audience. What is the most interesting accomplishment or most exciting accomplishment that you can imagine Clint has just achieved? Okay. No, wait. Don't say anything. All right. And then I want you to imagine that Clint has reached his dream. He's done something incredible. And Clint is either your brother or your son or someone else that you feel really, really passionately about. And you couldn't possibly be more excited for him. All right? Now, Clint, I want you to stand right over there by that refrigerator. And when I introduce to you Clint Walker, what I want you to do is I want you to start those feelings, you know how you just start to get so excited and you can't hardly stand it and you just can't sit still and the butt starts wiggling a little bit and you just feel your energy coming up and you can't stand anymore, so you just jump to your feet. And the crowd just roars, and you clap and applaud. I mean, I want the people outside the hotel to wonder what the heck is going on in that room, all right? So let's do this. So we're going to do the experiment Ovation. And so, ladies and gentlemen, a day into the legal shield, Mr. Clint Walker. Wow, that is fantastic. That felt good for me. Clint, how did that feel?
Amazing.
Didn't that feel amazing? Wonderful. That was fantastic. Great. Well job. Well done. Great job. All right. So what have I been doing?
Audience experiments.
I've been doing audience experiments. Now, let me ask you this. Would any of you have stood up in the middle of the room and just started pointing random places? Or started spinning where you were standing? Now, you may have jumped to your feet and given a standing ovation to somebody. Probably not me, but some of these speakers you might have done that for. But the point is, all of those silly things that we just did, all of you did them simply because I asked you to. Now, you wouldn't have done them if I had not asked you to do them. But I, standing at the front of the room, can get 200 people to do all those things simply because I asked you to do them. Now, here's a question for you. If I can get 200 people that I don't know to do those types of things just because I asked them to, who would join Legal Shield as a member or as a new recruit on your team, and the only reason they haven't is because you haven't asked them to?
That's right. That's right.
We'll come back and talk about this question a little bit more in a little bit, but think about this. Let's look at some numbers. Anybody know the population of the state of Utah? 2012 census was 2.8 million. So if we say 2.8 million, now there was a white paper study that we released corporately not too long ago, just a few weeks back, in fact, where we actually did some research, and we found out that 9 out of 10, 90% of the population of the United States believes that attorneys are too expensive. They're unaffordable. Okay? They also said that they thought that they were difficult to talk to, difficult to reach, wouldn't pick up the phone and talk to them. Two-thirds of America said that that if a plan like this existed, they said they didn't think an opportunity to actually get affordable attorney access was viable in the United States. And 60% of them said if such a plan did exist, they would want to buy it. All right. So let's assume for a second that the state of Utah is the only place Legal Shield is sold. It's the only place that's authorized to be sold. 2.8 million people, 60% of them want to buy Legal Shield if they just knew it existed, but they don't know it existed. Divide that by 200 of us, what kind of opportunity do we have?
Huge.
Now, even if you say, well, wait a minute, some of those are kids. Well, let's not go with his numbers. The average American family, let's just say it's an average family size of four. Do you realize that's still over 2,100 people or families that want to buy Legal Shield, and the only reason they haven't is because none of us have asked them to yet. Now, what if you could sell outside of Utah as well? Which, of course, you can. Do you begin to see the type of opportunity that we're talking about? 60% of America say they would buy it from us if they knew we existed. And the only reason they don't know we exist is because we haven't shared it with them yet. Now, if you've thought of somebody in your mind as I've been speaking, of someone that you should have shared or asked about this opportunity, but you haven't yet, write that name down right now. And don't let this week end without contacting them. Okay? Now, we'll come back to this word ask, but I want to go to a topic called why. My why. And I think to start this off, I want to ground you a little bit in what I mean by the word why. I'm not talking about the mountain or the thing on Mr. Hall's house, his roof. Okay? I'm talking about why. Why are you here? You all have a reason why you came today. There's a reason why you're interested in Legal Shield or have joined Legal Shield. There's a reason why you do the things that you do. And in a minute, I'll tell you what my why is. But I want to start by showing you a little video that we captured back at the Dallas Learning and Leadership Conference back in September. We interviewed some associates. Some of you might even be on one or two of the videos that I'm going to share today. But we asked some people what was their why, and this is kind of what they shared with us.
My why is the financial freedom to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, with whom I want to do it, and go wherever I want to go.
My why is Social Security stinks. I'm going to retire in December, and I'm just very, very happy that I have Legal Shield to build up the back end because the front end really stinks.
My why is that we've been doing this business now for 13 years. This past May, our daughter just graduated with a chemistry degree, and we were able to come up to her and whisper her in her ear after she walked from that stage, "Sweetie, go pick out whatever car you want, but you have a brand new car to get a medical school in." That's what this business is about.
My why is to help my father with his retirement. I give him a little bit of security in his elder years, and also I would love to go to all four major tennis tournaments in the calendar year.
Okay. Good stuff.
That's just amazing.
Basically, I've had several whys while I've been in the business, but the one that has really caught my heart the most recently was the birth of my grandson. Dylan Adam, he is my why. I want to make sure that he knows the legacy that I'm leaving for him.
Well, my why is this. It's all about family. The more I can do to help my family, the better off they'll be, and the better off we'll be, and the better off the world will be. And I'm truly happy to be a part of this amazing company leadership.
My wife and I owned and operated two businesses for 30 years, overhead, employees, all the rest, and had the membership 22 until the light finally went on that Legal Shield is the legacy that we can leave for our family.
My why is I'm a mom of five, and when I found out that I could have the balance of an incredible income and work from home with a little belief and effort, I was all in. My why is my family, my lovely daughter who I want to show the world, and my mother who is going to retire soon and I would love to take care of. I'd also love to help those that are less fortunate and be in a position that I can volunteer my time as well as my friends.
All right, so as you can see, there's a number of whys that people have, and you might have your own. And if you haven't figured out what your why is, I encourage you to give that some deep thought and really identify for you what is driving you. What is your why that's going to get you past some things? There's my name and title. I'm Patrick Hodges, and I'm the Vice President of Training and Associate Development for Legal Shield. But that's just a name and a title. It doesn't really tell you much about me and about my why, but I would like to share with you what my why is. And it all started for me back in 1966. Now, as you can see, I still have the same hairstyle. Eventually, color photography was invented. I'm heavily involved in the Boy Scouts of America. I'm an Eagle Scout. Thank you. I have five sons and a daughter, and four of those sons are currently Eagle Scouts. One is still working his way toward that. But a great part of my life has been the Boy Scouts of America. I'm an athlete. As you can see, I'm twice the man I once was. Just for the record, those are not tights. Those are called leggings, and they give you a competitive advantage on the wrestling mat to help you slide around the mat and maneuver. This is the most successful sales job of my career. This is my beautiful wife, Sharon. I'm still not quite sure how I got her to say yes, and I believe she asks the same question sometimes. But just an amazing woman who's blessed me with six wonderful kids. I have six kids. She claims to have seven because she counts me as her seventh kid. But that is Sharon. Here's a family photo that's a cherished memory of ours from a few years ago, early in our family, when we had four kids here, and as you can see, one on the way, standing in front of the World Trade Center towers. And that sits above our fireplace on our mantle today as a cherished family photo. And here's a more recent family photo, my wife and I and our six kids, actually on a family vacation here in Utah a few years ago, down at Bridal Veil. That is my why. You see, everything I do is about my family because I love them so much. And what my why is, I want to be the best possible provider and protector I can be for them. So when obstacles come in my way, when things come up to me and say, you can't do that, or people say, that's beyond your limits, you can't achieve that, I just have to look at this picture and I say, I can. Now, when I took this job, I thought I was going to be relocating to Dallas. My job happens to be in Dallas. I happen to live in Virginia. That's a little bit of a commute. We were going to move that summer. The family was going to join me in Dallas. So it was just a couple months. Difficult, but something we could hopefully get through. Somehow we did. We went to close on our home in August in Dallas that my wife had found. And the seller was unable to get a clear title, and the sale fell through. It was time to get the kids back into school. I had that big Dallas conference I was deeply planning in, and so we didn't move. And so my family still lives in Virginia, and I still work in Dallas. And I get to see them 2 to 3 days a month now. But oftentimes I get up and I say, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go back to Virginia. But then I remember the reason I'm in Dallas is because I want to be the best possible provider and protector for them I can be. And right now, I can do that better in Dallas. So that helps me to stay there and do it. So find out what your why is, because I promise you, people around you are going to be dream stealers, as Mr. Self talked about. And they're going to tell you you can't do it, shouldn't be doing it. There's all kinds of reasons to do something else. But what is your why? And is it strong enough to get you past those hurdles and those obstacles and to push through it? All the people that have been really successful in this business are there because they pushed through those obstacles when they arose. The people that aren't here anymore didn't have a strong enough why. So define your why and then remind yourself of it often. All right. What's my background? Why did Legal Shield want me here? Okay. Why did they want me? Well, I spent 16 years with a company called Sears Roebuck & Company. Fantastic company. If you're not familiar with the story, Richard Sears was a train station attendant. Back in 1886, a shipment of watches came through the train station, and the retailer that was supposed to sell the watches refused them, and the manufacturer who produced them refused to receive them back. So they were stuck. So Richard Sears took the box of watches, made an agreement with the manufacturer, and then sold the watches. He made so much money selling the watches, he contacted the manufacturer again and ordered another case of watches. He did so well at that, he started ordering multiple cases of watches, quit his job as a train station attendant, and then a couple people had problems with a couple of their watches. They needed to be repaired. He had a good friend named Alva Roebuck who was good at repairing things, so he hired him, and together they formed eventually a Fortune 30 company that was one of the largest corporations in American history, the Sears Roebuck & Company. All started from a little guy selling a couple watches. Now, I spent 16 years there, and I'll talk more about that in a second. I left Sears after 16 years. I started there really as a part-time job, thinking it would be just a couple months. I was home. I was over in England for 2 years. I came back. My job that I had wasn't available. But I got married to my beautiful bride. As a result, I married into the family business. Her father owned three companies. He owned a sanitation company, a sanitation transfer company, and a septic service company. I was hired into the septic service company. It was a crappy job. Literally a crappy job. enough stories on that. I won't go into those. But I was looking for another job to earn some extra cash for over the summer before I went to college in the fall with my wife. So I got a part-time job at Sears, started selling on the sales floor, and what happened to me was what really launched my career. I was a victim of something I call PAM. PAM stands for Positive Accidental Misrepresentation. Here's what happened. I was hired at Sears. I went out on the selling floor. They wouldn't let you sell right away. You had to go through training. So I had 2 weeks of training where I could actually go to class and watch videos and learn from people. I could be out on the sales floor a few hours a week, shadowing other salespeople, seeing how they interacted with their customers, and so forth. As luck would have it for me, every single customer interaction that I shadowed during that two-week period, the salesperson sold a top-of-the-line product, attached an extended service contract to it, and got the customer to purchase it on their Sears credit card every single time. So at the end of the 2 weeks, guess what I thought? I thought every sales interaction at Sears involves the customer buying a high-end product, buying the service contract, and using their Sears credit card. So day one of my live sales came, and guess what I started doing? I started closing all my sales with high-end product, attaching extended service contracts on all of them, and getting them to use their Sears credit card. 2 weeks later, I was called into the manager's office. I thought I was in trouble. I couldn't figure out what I had done wrong, but I wasn't sure. I got in there, and I was all nervous. He's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, boss. I'm just trying to do this." He says, no, you don't understand. You can't do that. And I'm still thinking, what did I do wrong? I don't know. I'm trying to do the best I can. He's like, no, you don't get it. Look at this. He pulled out a sales report. There was about 10 of us in that sales department. I'm 2 weeks into the job. I'm closing at a ratio of over 9 out of 10, high-end, with attachment and credit card. Everyone else was at 2 to 3. And suddenly I realized, oh, I can't do this. So guess what I started doing? I started closing at a rate of 2 to 3. And then I thought, I caught myself. And I said, wait a minute. Before he told me I couldn't do it, I could. And the only thing that's different is my belief. So I had to do a self-analyzation process where I went through and said, well, wait a minute, what was I doing before? And it was a lot of my confidence and things like that that I had to go back and revisit. And then I started reapplying those things, and then I went on to be the number one salesperson in all of Sears Roebuck 3 years in a row. And then one day somebody said, you know what, you're so good, would you mind teaching the others what you're doing in the department? And I said, sure, I'll be glad to help with that. And then that department became number one in the district, number one in the region. And then they said, you know what, this store over here is having some problems. Would you mind going over there and teaching them a little bit? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. And I went over there, and that store started to be successful. And they said, you know what, this whole district over here is having some challenges. Would you mind going over there and sharing with them some of what you're doing? And I said, sure. And then eventually they said, you know what, would you mind coming into our corporate office and heading up the training for our home appliance category? Now, if you know anything about Sears, you know that home appliances is a major factor for them. They own over 40%, in some cases over 50% market share of the home appliance category. They are by far the biggest. And from a Sears Roebuck standpoint, that's the cash cow. That's the engine that keeps the company moving. So if you're going to be assigned to that department, you have to be considered the best of the best. And that's the department they brought me in to head. From there, they said, you know what, now you got that going so well, how about you cover all of our hard goods line? So they gave me electronics and lawn and garden and furniture and all that stuff. And they said, you know what, that's doing so good, why don't you do all the consultative sales, 365,000 salespeople and managers across Mexico, Canada, the United States, and all formats. And so we did that. Ended up being the national director of training for Sears across for consultative sales in 16 years. Thank you. But I left Sears, and I spent 2 years after Sears buying and selling businesses. I actually worked in private equity, not quite to the level of Mid-Ocean Partners. The dollar, there was a few less digits in the dollars of our transactions. But I did learn the process of investigating companies, researching them, analyzing their performance and their future capabilities, what their capital structure was like, what their management team was like, and so forth, and what was the market potential over the next 2 to 3 to 5 years of that company. That's important. I'll come back to that. As after that, I was contacted by a company called Bose Corporation. Anybody heard of Bose?
Yeah.
Fantastic company. I have absolutely nothing negative to say about Bose Corporation. It's a fantastic company. Great people. Dr. Bose still owns and operates the company. Back in 1968, I think it was, Dr. Bose was a professor, actually a student at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And he was graduating, and he was a mathematician. He also happened to be a classic violinist, very, very accomplished. So as a graduation present to himself, he bought himself a stereo system because he loved listening to classical music. He went out, he listened, he got the stereo home, he bought it based on the specifications and all of his research. Listened to it when he got home, and he was very disappointed. It didn't sound anything like the music he heard in the concert hall. And he embarked on a lifelong research of what's called psychoacoustics, which is not how sound is produced, which is how most speaker manufacturers approach it, but rather how does the human ear perceive sound? So by the time it gets to you, what does it sound like? And so the purpose of Bose is better sound through research. The goal is to have you hear it the way the artist intended you to hear it, the way they designed it. The company is all about products and quality and things. We would walk away from sales negotiations because it wasn't in the best interest of maintaining the integrity of our brand, even though it would put dollars in our pockets. They hired me to head up their national accounts, Circuit City in particular, which was their number two largest account, happened to be based in Virginia at the time. And I brought in, and now that was a B2B situation. My experience at Sears was what I call eye-to-eye, interfacing belly-to-belly, face-to-face, direct selling, one-on-one. Successful at selling it, successful at teaching others how to sell it. My experience at Bose was selling now to businesses, actually making large contracts and negotiations with senior executive teams for their entire companies, coming up with product portfolios, merchandising strategies, training plans, marketing agendas, all of that. got so successful at that, Bo said, you know what, you're doing pretty good at that now that you've been the top account manager for the company 3 years in a row. Would you mind teaching others how to do that? And I said, sure. And then eventually they said, well, would you teach a few more how to do that? And I said, sure. And then I got a call last December. Now, at this point in my life, I was living in Virginia, had a beautiful home, beautiful family, heavily involved in the community and in my church, had what I would consider a dream job working for a dream company, having fun with all the toys that they sent me to experiment with, and I get a call from a guy with a British accent named Alan Fernley. For those of you who are new, Alan Fernley happens to be the president of Legal Shield. He's from England. I was amused by the accent because I had lived in England for 2 years. And so we had a good conversation, and he talks really, really fast. But somehow I got it kind of figured out. And he was asking me if I was interested in heading up the training organization for Legal Shield. And I said, well, I very much appreciate that, but no. I'm not. I mean, I live where I've always wanted to live. I have a beautiful home in a beautiful part of the country. I have a dream job working for the dream company, and I love playing with all their toys they keep sending me. So, no, I'm really not interested, but I appreciate the gesture. And he said, that's fine. I just wanted to let you know where we were at and what we were doing. And, you know, and he says, I realize you don't know much about our company. I said, well, actually, I do. He's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, actually, I've owned a membership since 1993. He said, really? And I said, well, yeah, my brother-in-law happens to be a platinum executive director in the company. His name is Russell Peden. And I get a briefing every holiday. And when we go to Grandma's house, I would download to him my career, you know, accomplishments in corporate America, and he would give me a briefing. In fact, he had drugged me to two conventions, literally drugged me to two conventions. I went to Oklahoma City in 1998. In fact, somebody mentioned Fran Alexander. Her husband, Woody, gave his kind of farewell address to the company at that convention, and I was there, and I heard that. I've met people like Harlan Stonecipher. I had met Wilburn Smith and some others over that time, and so I knew all these people. I knew about Dave Cibrula and Brian Carruthers and Darnell Self and all these big names in the company. The other one he drugged me to was Las Vegas. I went a little bit more willingly to Las Vegas. But I'd been to two, so I actually knew quite a bit. I had a membership. I'd used it. I knew about a lot of the field leaders, and I was intrigued by Mid-Ocean Partners. And so I went back to my 2 years' experience of buying and selling companies and researching companies, and I dug in a little bit. I did some research over the holidays during our break. Nice thing about Bose, the company shuts down for 2 weeks over Christmas and New Year's, and they pay you to do nothing for 2 weeks. That's pretty awesome. So I spent those 2 weeks researching another company. And the more I found out about it and the more I dug into it, the more I was intrigued by just the market potential, the timing, the leadership that was brought on board, the financial backing and support of Mid-Ocean Partners. Somebody mentioned earlier they paid $656 million. I think Damien did that. I guarantee you that was not a quick decision to lay down $656 million to purchase a company. That took a lot of research. Before that, we were publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange. That just doesn't happen because you asked to go on the exchange. A lot of research is done. You have to be a strong, viable company to even be offered a position on the exchange. And then to have a company invest that kind of money to take you off the exchange and take you private means they have a lot of vision for the future. And as I began to research that, I actually engaged Rip Mason, our CEO, and Alan Fernley, our president, even deeper in discussions, flew out to Dallas, had a conversation and met with them, and it got to the point where I had to go to my wife, Sharon, and say, look, I know we're really happy here, but this is a great opportunity. But if you say no, you're not interested, of course I'll walk away. And she said, no, I'm interested. In fact, there's two cities that if we ever moved to would be at the top of my list. One happened to be Atlanta. The other one, she said, was Dallas. So it was just meant to be. So I made the decision to accept their offer and join Legal Shield. And that's why I'm here today. Now, during this almost three decades of sales, professional selling, and professional training before coming to Legal Shield, I worked, as I mentioned to you, with Sears and with Bose and then buying and selling some other smaller companies. But through that same time period, I did projects for other companies. In fact, you might recognize some of those companies that I've done some work for. I've developed product training either for or through some additional companies, and you might recognize a few of those. Hopefully you've heard of at least one of those. Okay. But I've had this background of direct selling, eye-to-eye, face-to-face, one-on-one selling, been highly successful at it, highly successful at teaching others how to do it. I've had this experience at Bose Corporation of selling business to business, negotiating contracts and positioning all of that, being highly successful at it, successful at teaching others how to do it. And now, with all of this background experience, I have this opportunity at Legal Shield, which is a very unique company because you have all of that opportunity at Legal Shield. And that's why they brought me into the company to take advantage of that and the journey that we're about to start on. But let me switch and come back to this word ASK that we talked about a little bit earlier. Now, ASK to me is actually an acronym, and it stands for Attitude, Skills, and Knowledge. And this is a theory that I've developed over the 3 decades of me working in professional sales and training, is that I think it comes down to, if you want to be successful, you have to have the right attitude, you have to have a certain set of skills, and you have to know what you need to know to be successful. So if you have the right attitude, the right skills, and the right knowledge, you can succeed. So the way I put this together is something called the ASK triangle. And all I do is I take those 3 components and I assign it a role. And I say, you define any role you want. Pick a task, a job, a function, anything. In this case, let's talk about the junior associate. Okay? And then I take those 3 components, attitude, skills, and knowledge, and I assign them a side of the triangle. And then we start to figure out, well, what are the things for a junior associate, and we're not thinking about associate or senior associate or anything else, but let's just talk junior associate. What are the things that will successfully impact their attitude, their skills, and their knowledge? How can we address that so we define what a successful junior associate looks like, and then what are the components that deliver that for us? We then say, you know what, they might need some additional development that's not just job specific but still helps them to develop. And then we start to take a measurement. Well, how does a junior associate start? It's not your first life experience, okay? Clint's been with us a day, but you know he's not starting as a real baby. He's had some other experiences in his life before coming to Legal Shield. So where's his attitude at? Where are their skills at? Where's their knowledge at? And that gives us a starting point, which becomes your ability to be a successful junior associate. The rest of the triangle is your untapped potential. My job is to get your ability to equal your potential so that you can be a successful junior associate. Now, over time, I'll develop training programs, and you'll go through training programs, and if I design them right and you approach them the right way, we should be able to expand and reach more of your potential until you're successful as a junior associate, which in our company means we automatically promote you to associate. But guess what happens? Now you're really good at being a junior associate, but you got a new role now of associate. And some of those things are the same, and some of those things are different. So now we redefine what is the things that are going to impact our attitude, what are the right skill sets, what are the right things we have to teach them so they have the right knowledge to be a successful associate, and the process starts over again. Okay? Let's start to break down these 3 components a little bit. I start with attitude. How many of you believe attitude is important? Okay? Is it better to have a positive or a negative attitude? Okay? What percentage of your attitude needs to be positive in order to be successful? 100%, 110%. Does anybody believe you can be successful with less than 100% positivity? You can. Okay? Well, what if I could prove to you mathematically, if I could show you a formula, an equation that actually calculates the exact percentage required of your attitude to be positive in order to be successful? Would you be interested in seeing that? Okay. Well, here it is. Now, as I said, I went to Brigham Young University. I was a math major for 2 weeks. And during that time, I learned a lot about math. At one point, I thought I wanted to be a math teacher. I changed my mind after a while. And studied some other things, but I do know a little bit about math, and I promise you that is an actual true formula that will accurately calculate the amount of attitude required to be positive in order to be successful. Now, if you know anything about math, you know that in order to solve for x, you have to know the variables in order to do that formula. Well, interestingly enough, if you take the word attitude and you assign to each letter its corresponding sequence in the alphabet, in other words, A is 1 and Z is 26, and you plug that in, A becomes 1, T is 20, I is 9, U is 21, D is 4, and E is 5. You plug those variables into that formula and it will calculate. Or, if you want to do it an easier way, just add them up. Either way, X equals 100. 100% of your attitude must be positive. Now, are we always 100% positive? Some of you might be approaching that right now, but 2 hours from now, you might be down a little bit. Monday morning, you're probably back down to about 65%, depending on how that morning goes. So what are you doing? What are you identifying as triggers for you to get yourself in the right mindset? So you can always be positive. So when things hit you, you can go back to your why, recalibrate, reanalyze what you're doing and what you need to do better to be the successful person that you envision yourself and deserve to be, so that you can get your attitude back in the right place. Dave Savula says what? If you have a bad attitude, just get a new one. And sometimes it's as simple as that. Just make a decision that I'm going to be positive no matter what. And I promise you greater success. So that's attitude. What about skills? Let's define skills. Skill is the learned capacity to carry out predetermined results, often with a minimum outlay of time, energy, or both. This is critical. In order for it to actually be a skill, you shouldn't have to think about it. You should have practiced and developed it enough that it just becomes part of who you are and what you do. When you're in that situation, the training and the practice takes over and the skill executes. Now, there's lots of different kinds of skills. Okay? You could have presentation skills, negotiating skills, listening skills, selling skills. I think those are all examples of skills that are important to be successful in this business. Some of you are more comfortable with selling than others. Some of you, you know, stop breathing at the word sell. Some of you get excited by that. I happen to not mind selling, but I've had a lifetime of experiences helping me with that. So would it be okay with you if I share you a little bit about selling and maybe make it a little bit more understandable to you and how that could be something not to be afraid of? Would that be all right? Can I help you develop a sales skill?
Yes.
All right. Anybody here ever use a pencil? Great. Well, I want to sell you a pencil. Now, who wants to help me? Mr. Yudi, would you mind helping me? Come on up. I have two pencils here.
Okay.
Are they the same? Are they different? What do you think?
They appear to be exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Just pick one of them.
Okay.
All right. Would you mind just describing that pencil for us? Tell us some things about it.
It's yellow in color. It's a Dixon number 2 pencil, HB, which is a softer lead. And it has an eraser on the end just in case I make a mistake.
Okay, so it's yellow, has a number 2, has an eraser. What about the shape? What about the sides?
It appears to be six-sided.
Six-sided with flat sides on it.
Right.
About how long is it?
9 inches.
9 inches? Okay. All right, that's fine. All right, great. So if I understand you right, this is a yellow 9-inch pencil, multi-sided, has a number 2 on it, and has an eraser on the end.
Correct.
Great. How much is that pencil worth?
10 cents.
I normally hear a nickel, so that's great. Let's just say it's 10 cents for easy math. All right. Now, that pencil is worth 10 cents.
Okay.
But I don't really want to sell you this pencil because I don't want 10 cents. I want a dollar. So I'm going to sell you this pencil. Is that all right? Is that okay with you? All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell you this pencil. Now, this pencil, Mr. Yudi, I just want you to know that this pencil happens to be 9 inches long, and we do that because we want it to last a long time for you. It's yellow because if you need to find it, I don't want it to be hard. I want it to be easy to locate for you, so the bright color makes it easier to find and locate. We put a number 2 on the side to let you know that it is a number 2 lead pencil, which actually is twice as effective and more productive and clean writing capability than versus a number 1 lead pencil. Now, do you ever make mistakes? Probably not. You're not kind of going to make mistakes. But I do occasionally do. So we've attached an eraser on here. So if you ever do make a mistake writing with this pencil, you can erase it and pretend it never happened. And then you can resharpen it because it's a soft wood. Nice tip. Point, write it over again, and it's like it never happened. Now, how much would you pay me for that pencil?
$1 I'll give you $1,
all right, great. All right, thank Mr. Yudi for me. Thanks. Now, is there any difference between these two pencils? Okay. Did I convey a difference in the two pencils? What was the difference I conveyed? Value. Okay. This pencil was described. I just listed off the features. I told you that I'll write letters for you, that I'll make phone calls for you, that I'll review documents and contracts. What was different about this pencil? You see, I've used this pencil, so I know how other people might use this pencil. And so I have plenty of stories about how this pencil has benefited me and how things that I've done with this pencil. And that's the point I'm making is, have you used your membership? How can you sell your membership if you haven't used it? And the power of it is the stories that you get from using your membership. If you've used it and you have a story, people will respond to that story much more easily, and frankly, you'll have an easier time conveying it because you have passion about it and feelings about it. And people will want the feeling that you got that they felt in that story, no matter what lists of features you ramble off. Features only tell, but stories sell. Okay? Now, if I was really good and I had more time, I might try to say, you know what, instead of the family legal plan, maybe you should consider the extended family legal plan. And you know what, you probably could be a candidate for identity theft protection. Okay? And you might need safeguard for minors. Pencil sharpener, okay, in case it breaks. All right, so you see how I could tie that analogy together, and if we had more time, I could really expand that out for you. But it really comes down to knowing the product and just conveying it. We already know that 60% of Americans want it, they just don't know it exists. So don't waste your time going through all of the features without just sharing some stories. And as you're passing people along and you see what's in their life going on, you say, you know what? I think Legal Shield would benefit you based on what I just heard from you. Let me tell you what it did for me. And quite honestly, that's all you're doing is sharing information. But in reality, that's selling. But it's a great skill, and it's very simple and easy to execute. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can you just have a story to tell?
Yeah.
And find some others that help you in those situations? Great. So selling's really not that difficult. But that's a skill. Now let's talk about knowledge. Plato says knowledge is a statement must meet three criteria in order to be considered knowledge. It must be justified, true, and believed. Okay? Now, from a training standpoint, I happen to be considered by some a training expert, if you will, but I'm not necessarily what I would call a subject matter expert on everything. I happen to know a lot about sales. I happen to know a lot about training. I don't know a lot about, when I first joined the company, how you fill out a membership application, okay? But I can figure that out, and I can go to the subject matter experts, and they can help me understand that so that I can put that into my training. So what is it really that knowledge is important about? Well, you have to understand the right pieces of knowledge. So let me give you a couple nuggets on knowledge. Let me start with this. If I were to stand in front of you today, and I would happen to be looking like this, does that say anything to you? Notice what's on the side, Mr. Hall?
Yeah, Mormon drug dealer.
Yeah, Mormon drug dealer. But you get an impression. Now, what if I did this instead?
Accountant.
And if I look over the top a little bit, and occasionally I do this, and maybe even...
Bishop.
By the way, this presentation goes very different outside of Utah. But is there a difference? All I did was put on a pair of glasses in both cases. So what's the knowledge nugget there? People are watching. How are you presenting the membership and this opportunity? Are you presenting it the right way? Are you presenting yourself the right way? Are you conveying the message that you're trying to deliver? Now, I'm not saying there's a right way and a wrong way to dress, but there is a right way and a wrong way for you to dress to deliver the message that you're trying to convey. Does that make sense? You can decide what those parameters are, but be mindful that it does make a difference. People read you before they hear you. All right? So that's important. All right? Let me do another one. Let's talk about the importance of a name. I told you that I was hired at Sears, and I thought it was going to be a part-time job. Okay? I had the day job. I got an evening job. It was just supposed to be over the summer, and then I was going to go to school in the fall. Well, the HR person at Sears assumed I went by my first name. Now, what she didn't know was, if you remember, I was born in 1966. Happened to be born on March 17th. Now, what day is that? St. Patrick's Day. Now, my father, my brother, and my sister decided it would be cool if my name was Patrick because I was born on St. Patrick's Day. My mom had decided it was going to be Gregory Wayne Hodges. When she saw the birth certificate arrived, it said Patrick Wayne Hodges. And she was not happy, but she didn't have a Legal Shield membership, so it wasn't easy to change my name back. Okay? So my name was Patrick Wayne Hodges, and she never really was thrilled with that. Well, I went by my first name, Patrick, and as you know, on the playground, things happen, you know, you're in kindergarten and stuff. So Patrick often became Pat or Patty or sometimes Patricia, things like that, you know. And so I developed this dislike for the name Patrick, okay? And so I stopped going by my first name, and I started going by my middle name, which is Wayne. Now, everybody who knows me all the way up through graduating high school knows me as Wayne Hodges. But after my mission, when I got home, I started my first part-time job at Sears. I went to the HR lady. She gave me a name tag. She just assumed I went by my first name, which is Patrick. And I was kind of, you know, nervous. I'm only going to be here a couple months. Not a big deal. I'll survive. Well, then what happened was the phone would ring. And I had to stop and think, wait a minute, am I Wayne or Patrick? I got a little schizophrenic. And then it got to the point where suddenly I'm in a 16-year career at what I thought was only going to be a couple months. And now far more people know me as Patrick than they do as Wayne. My wife happened to like Patrick better than Wayne, so it kind of worked out. So now people know me as Patrick Hodges. But here's what happens. Sometimes I'll introduce myself and I'll say, hi, my name is Patrick. And he might respond back, Pat, it's great to meet you. And guess what? The hairs start going up on the back of my neck because I'm back on the playground in kindergarten and I'm thinking, if he goes to Patricia, I'm going to knock him out. Okay? Because I have those issues. Okay? Now, I've had counseling and I've learned to deal with those a little bit. Okay? But here's the point. Listen to this. People will tell you what they want you to call them. If you call them something else, you're building barriers instead of breaking them down. In fact, they may not even be listening to you anymore. They're going back to the playground in kindergarten. Okay, so if they say, hi, my name is Susan Smith, then I would often go back and say, well, Ms. Smith, it's great to meet you. I don't know if she's married yet or not, so I'm going to go with Ms. Smith. If she says, I'm Susan Smith, and this is my husband, Mr. Smith, I'll say, well, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it's great to meet you. She might say, when I say, well, Ms. Smith, it's great to meet you, she says, no, that's okay, you can call me Susan. Then I don't go and say, well, Sue, that's fantastic, I'm glad we got that out of the way. I'll say, well, thank you, Susan. And then she might say, you know what, actually my friends call me Sue. Now, she may not like the name Sue. She might like it or might reserve it only for her closest friends. I don't know that. But if I breach that at the wrong time, then I lose that relationship and I create barriers instead of breaking them down. So when you introduce yourself to people and they introduce you back, listen. And only go as far as they are comfortable with you going. And let them bring you in closer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. You'll have far more success in building relationships in a positive way if you do it that way. So, important nugget. All right, so that's knowledge. All right. Attitude, skills, and knowledge. Now, I'm not doing this alone. we're taking those practices and we're going through and we're doing a lot of research across the company about what are the right attitudes, skills, and knowledge that needs to be developed in our field force to help them reach the success that they're after, help you reach the success that you desire. So for the first three months on the job, I was basically, actually for this whole year, I'd been given three assignments in 2012 when I was hired. Assignment number one was define and research what the current state of training is at Legal Shield. Step number two, define the vision for the future of training at Legal Shield. And step number three, start to bridge the gap. Take us from where we are to where we need to be. Okay? And we've been engaged in that. But I didn't do it alone because I've involved some special partners, some professional partners that are industry leaders out there in the training and development world. Acclivus R3 Solutions, which was a great partner for us at the Dallas Learning and Leadership Conference. They helped us with the first 2 days of the training. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Wilson Learning is another globally renowned company, and Franklin Covey, one of the leaders in time management and leadership development in the world. And they helped us also with the Dallas Learning and Leadership Conference on the second 2 days on the eye-to-eye part. Well, let's talk about 4 days in September a little bit and give you some insider information. So last September was really kind of the unveiling. I spoke last April in our convention in Oklahoma City, and it was kind of my introduction to the company from stage, and I shared kind of a little bit of what I had found about the state of training and a little bit about my vision for the future of training and the fact that we're using partners. And then we spent the summer really developing a lot of these programs, and we kind of unveiled the very first wave of that here in Dallas in September. And we spent the first 2 days at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Dallas focusing on B2B, focusing on business-to-business training. I was really focused about getting the meeting with the right people, overcoming those objections, and really being successful in that B2B arena. The second 2 days, we went over to the American Airlines Center, and there we focused on eye-to-eye training, individual-to-individual training on how you actually can be successful selling and building your Legal Shield business in that arena. There were some unique challenges. Now, in a typical training environment, the best scenario is have an audience size of about 12 to 24. If you get fewer than 12 people, you often don't get enough interaction. If you have more than 24, sometimes you get too much interaction, or you get one or two people that keep taking the audience way out of bounds. Okay? And they end up just following those leads. So 12 to 24 is optimal. The challenge I had was I had to train 5,000. So if I know that 12 to 24 is optimal, but my audience size is 5,000, how do you accomplish both? So we had some interesting challenges. Let me just share with you what we came up with for the room setup at the Hyatt Regency. By the way, how many were there? Wonderful. Great. So you already know how the room was set up, but basically we put an Acclivus instructor that we partnered with. By the way, they have a number of courses, but I went through six of their courses that they teach around the world and pulled sections from those courses, built that into a Legal Shield specific B2B training course, which we delivered in Dallas, which has been highly effective. So we hired an Acclivus instructor to teach that content from the stage. We partnered them with Legal Shield trainers that could help them take that content and make that fit into the Legal Shield world with our terminology and experiences and situations that arise. And then we set up the room with round tables of 12. So we put 12 per table, and we filled the room with these round tables of 12. And then we brought in additional Legal Shield trainers and stationed them throughout the room. And they had a subset of anywhere from 6 to 8 tables. So they were coaching the 6 to 8 tables of 12. While the presenter would be presenting from the main stage, then they would go into activities to kind of reinforce that topic. These coaches wouldn't stay stationary. They'd actually move around the room and engage their teams. And I have to stop here for a second. When I showed this concept to Alan, remember our president, he stopped the meeting. He said, "Do that again." And so I had to keep going back and make these guys walk around the room. And it took us like 20 minutes. He's like, "Do that again." So I would have to go back and do it again and walk around the room, okay? And so I had validated my hiring just because I could get guys to walk around the screen on stage. The training hadn't even occurred yet, and he was already happy as a lark. So as you know, I did do more than just create a PowerPoint about the concept. We actually developed the actual training. So what I want to show you now is a quick video. that kind of revisits the Dallas Learning and Leadership Conference, gives you a quick summary of the first 2 days and then the second 2 days and what that kind of ended up looking like and feeling like.
I'm so excited. I don't know. I'm excited now. You see me starting to jump around and get real jittery about it. But it's just been great information. It's been great that people are doing even better. So if that's any indication of what's about to happen in that room next to us, we're in for a treat.
In the next 2 days, we're going to gain a deep understanding of how to structure things, how to manage environments.
I think it's phenomenal. I think that what they're doing and working at, trying to make sure that we are prepared to go out in the field and to meet people in a new and professional way with the Legal Shield brand is just fantastic.
I think this is an awesome opportunity and the best sales training I've ever had.
Oh, man.
What I learned is some of the how-tos on how to structure and get the framework for all my calls I make.
I have never been to something that was so concise, step-by-step, what you need to know and how you need to present it to your clients.
I've learned how to present to more business owners, more big groups of people.
It's absolutely amazing. All the things that they've been teaching us, it's just incredible.
As far as me growing, I think it's limitless.
It's going to help me grow tremendously. I've learned in the past 2 days, and it really came all together that I'm an individual that sets my own destiny. And with this company, it's going to allow me to do far beyond anything I'd ever imagined. I really see where this company's going. You know, even the fact that I can't see everything, I see enough to know that I'm in the right place. So, yeah.
I've never, ever been as inspired as I am here today. I'm just really excited. Just really can't wait to see what we have coming.
All right, so that's kind of a recap of Dallas. Now, interestingly enough, I share with you kind of the challenges we had on the first 2 days, right? Because we were at the hotel. There was four separate rooms set up like the way I showed it to you on the screen. All four rooms going through the same curriculum with the same type of setup. One of the unique things that we did, and Franklin Covey and Aclavis, as global leaders in the industry, had never done this before, but I challenged them to put together a 13-week follow-up coaching program as well. So it wasn't just about the 2 days of training on B2B, for those of you who participated in that, but we followed that up with 13 weeks of conference calls with those teams to revisit those key learning topics. We also put together those interactive workbooks for all 4 days. So you could go back to your notes, not spend a lot of time trying to write down every little word that was said. The important stuff that was detailed was already written in the book, but we kept it with a few blanks so you could stay engaged. And then some things we actually had activities for you to do and complete. On the second 2 days, the eye-to-eye training, a lot of that training came from subject matter experts out in the field across the country, but for the first time it was brought together in a combined, consistent format and delivered in a consistent way with consistent templates and messaging. And we flew all those presenters in weeks ahead of time, showed them the presentations that we had developed, got their feedback, made some tweaks and edits, republished it, got it back to them. They practiced their delivery. We had rehearsals 2 nights before where they actually got up on the stage to an empty auditorium and practiced delivering that. We coached them through that so that by the time you saw it, You don't see that. You don't think about all those things when you just attend the event. You don't know all the work that went in advance. But I want you to know that we put a lot of effort in. And then those of you who were there, you saw, you know, what it ended up looking like. Now, those of you who went, was it worth going?
Yes.
Would you go again?
Yes.
So are you going in April to Oklahoma City? Hey, show of hands, how many have actually registered to go to Oklahoma City? Okay, so a few of you. Less than half. Okay? I promise you, as good as Dallas was, Oklahoma City is going to be even better. Now, I happen to know 99.9% of what's going to happen in Oklahoma City. I haven't figured out the other 0.1 yet, but I'll do that this week. We're really, really close to locking it down, and there's some exciting stuff that we're unveiling. Now, the difference is Dallas was what's called a learning and leadership conference. It was really training-focused. Oklahoma City is our international convention. Will there be training? Yes, absolutely. Will there be fantastic announcements and exciting program changes and enhancements and things that I cannot share with you? Yes. But I promise you, you want to be there. Now, those of you who went to Dallas, how many of you wish you'd have brought more people with you? So those of you who are going to Oklahoma City, I would challenge you. Don't leave Oklahoma City saying, I wished I'd have brought one more person. Or I wished I'd have brought 100 more people. Make that decision now and do it. Those of you who have not registered yet, register. Okay? If you happen to qualify for a free ticket, we will quickly reimburse you. You get paid daily, guess what? You can get reimbursed daily as well. I'll be that quick with it. Okay? But don't lose your opportunity to come to an international event across the 2 days or the 4 days, your choice, that'll be impactful and could potentially change your life and change your Legal Shield business. And potentially, you know, your descendants' future because of what you're able to achieve and accomplish. There's some great things coming. Now, let's talk about why it's important. You know, Mr. Hall, I think, referenced the fact that, well, training is good and hopefully it has an ROI. Well, when I was hired by the company in February, a little insider information again, budgets are set or proposed back in September. They're discussed again in October. They're tweaked again in November and presented to the board of directors. And then final cuts are made. Then usually early January, the budget's kind of locked in and finalized for the following year. Well, last year, that all happened. And then I was hired a month later in February. So I had no input on what that budget was. In fact, when I was hired in February, I didn't have a budget. It was zero. Now, those of you who came to Dallas realize that I spent money anyway. And the company supported that. But they won't support that again if there's not an ROI for that type of an investment. But I was able to succeed, and MidOcean agreed. Our friends at MidOcean, Rip and Allen, said, you know what, we want to invest in the field. We want to enable them to be as successful as we can because we know that if the field is successful, Legal Shield is successful. So we invested a lot of money. If you were to buy that training event out on the open market, it would cost you about $5,000. Those of you who came, I think, paid $149 if you went to all 4 days, $149. So a $5,000 training experience for $149, that gives you some insight into the level of investment the company made into that event. Okay? So please do not think we make a profit off those events. It is by far the opposite direction. Okay? But we would make that investment again if you were able to take back what you got there and be successful with it. So let's find out if we did. Now, I've been tracking this. So ever since Dallas, we put a study together that was tracking and monitoring those who came to Dallas, how they're performing, and we also track those who didn't come to Dallas, how they're performing. So those who made the investment to come to the event and to engage in the training and development, how are they doing? And I've been tracking that for a six-month period, so 2 months prior to the conference, 4 months following the conference. We're still in the midst of that project. And we tracked it last year, same period, versus this year, same period. So let me just show you a couple of the early results. Now, this will take us through November. I have the December data, but I've not input it into the presentation yet, but it's very similar. So if I take a subset of just the coaches, remember the orange people walking around the screen? They got extra development and training and coaching to prepare them to be able to be coaches to you when you got to Dallas. So we'll look at just those 25 people on recruiting. And by the way, these are not traditional recruiters. These are traditional sellers. in September, an 850% increase in recruiting. October, a 275% increase. In November, a 100% increase. Does anybody remember the corporate challenge that Rip put out, what percentage he was asking for everybody to do as an increase? 15%. But this group had those kind of results. Now, if we look at recruiting for the four-day participants, so all of you, the thousands of people that came in, September still had 150% increase, October 154%, November 92%. 10 times what we were asking for the company to deliver. Thank you. If we look at recruiting by room, because you were broken into four different rooms on the B2B side, you can see consistently across all four rooms significant level. So it didn't really matter which room you were in, you got a similar experience and similar performance as a result of it. If we look at production, membership sales. Now the coaches actually had a 10% decrease in the month of September. I'll give them a mulligan because I actually took them out of the market for 10 of those days. I had to train them and develop them to coach you. So they weren't actually out there doing their business for a third of the month, but only had a 10% decrease. But they came back in October and November when they could use those skills with a 36% and a 26% increase. So you can see over the period a significant rise. If I look at the subset of the entire audience participation, September 16, October 16, November 9. Again, great lifts. If we look at personal production by room, again, the only rooms that had anything was in the month of November. Blue was down 5% and orange was down 3%, but green was up 23 and purple was up 22. So overall as a group, significant increases. But for some reason there was something going on in the blue and orange rooms in November that didn't quite meet last year's. Now that could have been they had a great year last year for that month. I don't know. Okay. If we look at groups, so not just production, but how many new groups were opened, 51% increase in September and 17% increase in October. So a dramatic increase in recruiting, dramatic increase in membership production, dramatic increase in the amount of companies that we're actually selling to and interacting through that employee benefit side. So a lot of fantastic results. So do you think MidOcean is going to sign off on letting me offer that type of training again?
Yeah.
That's good, because they did. In fact, we're just now finished with the next budget cycle, which I did get to participate in this time. And I think Mr. Hall heard it on the RVP call, the last regional vice president call that we had for the company a few weeks ago, that budget's now been signed off and approved. And I can't tell you exactly what the numbers of the budget are, but it's significantly higher than last year's budget and was signed off and approved, so you can expect bigger and better things and even bolder movement by the company this year. So again, a fantastic time to be a part of Legal Shield. Now, the people that made the decision to invest in you this year are the same people that decided to invest $650 million into the company 2 years ago, invested in you last year by adding additional money into the pot beyond the $650 million for things like the training that I did and other things that we did, and are adding even more money into the pot again this year. They're not taking money out. They're continuing to invest, and that should give you some insight into how they still feel about the future of our company. So here's my challenge. I have to take all this, and I have to develop a vision that's not just about events. I don't want to just train you when you show up at a national event. You have to have development, coaching, and training along the way. So we're developing something under the concept called the Legal Shield Learning Center. If you saw the presentation that Mr. Hall delivered, there was a little logo up in the upper left-hand corner that said authorized or certified training material from the Legal Shield Learning Center. Anything that is produced out of my office, you'll start to see that logo, at least on the title slide, that lets you know that, yes, that's an actual official approved training and so forth. We'll continue to develop things. We're taking all of that content that we developed, that we taught in Dallas, and repurposing that into mini modules. There was over 24 hours of training developed and delivered in Dallas. Obviously, you're not going to sit through that at once if you're retaking it or taking it for the first time in a different setting. So we're building little mini modules that are 20 to 30 minutes long that you'll be able to deliver out in the field and other opportunities to get that access to that training, as well as developing new stuff that we weren't even able to approach in Dallas. So a lot of stuff coming on that. What is training? Let me define training for you. Because, you know, as you know, my role is training, but I don't believe training is just about events. I don't think it's about coming here. I don't think it's about watching a video. I don't think it's about an online course. I don't think it's about going to a class or an event. For me, training is an art form. It's an art of changing behavior. And you have to use all of those components, all of those ways to reach people to really change that behavior. Now, you have to want to change. I can't force change, but I can enable and inspire you to change. And so that's my goal, is to create those types of training venues and outlets that will help you and help the teams that you bring on. And that's probably the bigger takeaway for you. I want you to feel assured that I'm going to continue to work and my team's going to work and the Legal Shield's going to work to develop and mentor you. But also the people you reach out to and bring onto your team are going to be better positioned than ever before now as we continue to move forward with these enhancements and improvements. Because we're going to have success in changing behavior in a positive way. Now, let me just give you one example about what those behaviors are. And there's really two. Because the two behaviors I'm focused on is what Mr. Hall presented earlier, selling more and recruiting more. And frankly, some of you are focused on selling. And that's really your passion, is you want to sell memberships, and some of you want to recruit and grow your team. And that doesn't matter to me which passion you have. What I want you is to embrace your passion and be successful in it. If you want to sell more memberships, sell more memberships. If you want to recruit a larger team, recruit a larger team. Ideally, you would do both. And I guarantee you, if you focus on selling, you're quickly going to find that you'd rather have a lot of people selling for you than just selling it all yourself. And if you focus on building a team, you're going to find out that you'd want that team to be successful in selling stuff, and you want people focused in the business-to-business arena on your team. So either way, they eventually merge together no matter where you start your focus. Let me share with you something called a blended learning strategy and give you an example of that, how we take advantage. And I shared with the team last night that I met with the scenario of a project I did at Sears called Powerama. Powerama was where we took the spring season sales force and said, here's the new training lineup, here's the new product lineup for the spring. We're going to split you into four groups and train you four different ways. Group number one, we hand them a pack of literature and said, here's the information from the manufacturer on the new products, read this and go sell. Group number two, we developed online training that took them through the different things that they need to acquire from a knowledge standpoint and actually conveyed to them, here's a lawn tractor, here's a garden tractor, here's a chainsaw, here's the different size cuts and the different attachments and what their purposes are and so forth. We did that. The third group, we sent them to a live class to do that. The fourth group, we did all of that. We said, here's the literature, now take these online courses and then go to the live class. But when you get to the live class, instead of learning what a tractor is, grab a set of goggles and a gas can, put gas in it, crank it up, and go mow something. Okay? Very different experience. And that's a blended learning strategy, is being able to help you with the right attitude, give you the right knowledge, and help you develop the right skills. So what would that look like at Legal Shield? What if you had a brand new associate join your team and they got an email from us, Matthew, congratulations on joining Legal Shield as a junior associate. One of your key goals at Legal Shield is to help our associates develop the skills that will enhance their business. As a junior associate, you now have access to the Legal Shield Learning Center. The Legal Shield Learning Center provides customized training to help you become a more effective associate and move up at Legal Shield. Local resources for you to network with other Legal Shield associates and share best practices. And the email continues on with a few other benefits. So Matthew now is on the team, and he's supposed to go to some training. So when he logs into his learning center, he gets something like this. It'll end up looking quite a bit different. This is just a mock-up. But then he'll have access to multiple courses. And he can have online courses that are there and readily available. He can register for classes and live classes and events and things as well to engage and continue to develop. But let's say Matthew's gets a call from this or a voicemail or a text on his phone. Hi, Matt. This is Emily, your Legal Shield Learning Center trainer. I'm calling to remind you that our next class is in 3 weeks. But what if Matt doesn't show up? Well, maybe Matt gets another email. Matt, we know she didn't show up to the class. We want to remind you of the benefits of the class. This is what you would have learned had you come. The next time it's being offered is on this date in this market. Click here to register. But Matt never does it. So maybe he gets another email. Matt, here's a little video about what you would get if you actually came to the class and did this. And so two people who have done it and the success they've had for it. And by the way, here's the next class when it's offered. Click here to register. Matt still doesn't do it. So I send his upline manager an email. Matt hasn't done the next step for him. Here's something you can cut and paste into your email and send to Matt to encourage him about this class and the benefits he'll get from it. Or here's a script of some points from the class that you can call and reinforce to Matt to get him to do that. And eventually Matt does it. He takes it, he signs up for it, and he moves forward and he takes the class. And then he gets an email on his phone. Matthew, congratulations on your completion of part one of helping clients succeed training through the Legal Shield Learning Center. Next for you is step two. Click here to register. Okay? And we start that process again. Continue to develop and mentor them. And that is kind of a blended learning strategy. Now, we're far away from that. We're not quite ready to deploy that on Tuesday or a week from Tuesday. Some of that, you'll start to see glimpses of it. We'll take another big advancement in Oklahoma City, and we'll continue to bring other things. The vision, the strategy that I did was a 5-year strategy. So it takes 5 years to give everything that I've created and thought, but I'm going to try to deliver that in 3 years because I just don't think we have 5 years to do it. I think our growth is going to exceed that. So I want to end with you a couple of quotes. And I shared these quotes in Dallas from stage when I was there. But the three quotes that I feel very strongly about, these are quotes that I've developed over the years. And the first one is this: what you learn here is important, but what you do with what you learn here can change your life. Now, again, a lot of you had different whys or reasons why you came here today. Some of you wanted to be trained, some of you wanted to be developed, some of you wanted to see your friends, some of you wanted to feel a part of something, some of you wanted to learn how to grow and build your business. And hopefully whatever reason you came here for, you at least got part of that result back. But if all you did was come here for a good experience and to see friends, then that's all you got out of it. If you got a little nugget, even just one nugget, that you can take back and apply in your daily activities in life that will change you and make you more productive and more successful and more positive, then that's going to be better because that's going to change your life. So always go into something saying, what can I take out of this that will improve me and make me better? Second one, failing is inevitable, but failure is not an option. Do you remember the story of Apollo 13? They had every obstacle possible coming their way. There was no way they could bring these astronauts safely back to Earth. But the leader of the team said, I don't care what all the obstacles and challenges are. I don't care how many times we fail. Keep failing. But failure is not an option. So when you go and approach somebody about the Legal Shield opportunity in the business or the membership and they say no, maybe you feel like you failed. That's okay. Keep failing until you're successful, because failure is when you quit. You're going to fail. That's inevitable. You're going to have people that reject you. Use that as fuel. Use that as an opportunity to re-gauge, reanalyze like I did, recommit yourself, and refuse to be a failure and only accept success. And the last quote for you is this: the human mind is most prepared to learn when it has just failed to execute what it thought it knew. You know, you might walk out of here today feeling, you know what, I am more confident than ever before about this business, and I'm excited about it, and I'm going to move forward. And the first person you talk to is going to shoot you down. And you can either choose to get dejected and depressed and say, well, maybe I wasn't as good at this, or maybe this wasn't the opportunity I thought it was, or you can say, you know what, no. Let me analyze that. What went wrong? How could I approach that better? What could I do differently next time? And your mind immediately becomes a sponge and will help you develop new skills and new abilities. Now, my job is to help you with tools that will help you take advantage of those moments when they arise. So the human mind is most prepared to learn when it has just failed to execute what it thought it knew. If you haven't failed, then you're not doing enough. Keep pushing yourself, and I promise you, you'll reach success. Now, hopefully you can go back and you can revisit your why. And if you already had identified your why, rethink about it. Is it strong enough? Is it really motivating you to do what you're doing? Is it motivating you to do enough what you need to do to really reach the goals that you've set for yourself or desire? Go back and really analyze. Do I have the right attitude? Am I positive? Am I choosing to be positive? Am I 100% positive? Do I know what I need to know to be successful? Have I developed the skills? Have I simply asked people that are already interested and want it if they just knew about it? Have you added to your list? Are you going out with the right frame of mind and saying, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make this successful. I'm going to change my life and my family's life, and I'm going to reach my why, regardless of what that is. I hope you'll do that. I challenge you to do that. I hope I'll see you in Oklahoma City in April. Until then, Thank you very much. It's been wonderful being with you.
All right. Have you got some good nuggets from Mr. Hodges?
Mr. Hodges, first of all, we have a nice T-shirt from Legal Shield University. We're going to give him an honorary degree that he has now graduated. But he already has a degree far more valuable from Brigham Young University. If you didn't pick up on the fact that him and it looks like every one of his family members are BYU fans, it's a little bit cold right now. Here in Utah, we got him a jacket to stay warm while he's here.
Thank you.
And he's going to need that jacket because tonight he's my date to the BYU basketball game as a minister. So.
Thank you very much.
We're going to the Marriott Center tonight to watch the Cougs play basketball. So, good times. It was easy finding a gift for such a classy individual. No, you can't take the white home off my house. But really lucky to have Patrick Hodges here, also known as Patty, to a lot of his close friends. But we have next month, get your pens out. Next month, we have another fellow Virginian coming into town, and this is one of the best stories, homegrown stories, not only in Legal Shield but in this entire industry. And I'll let you know, our guest for next month is Jeff and Cindy Hughes. Woo! And if you're not familiar with Jeff Hughes' story, he literally was Al Bundy, a professional lady shoe salesman for many, many years, and making about $30,000 a year selling shoes. I mean, that is just, I just think about the poor guy when I take my son in to buy football cleats or something like that, and I think about the poor shoe salesman that has to pull his shoes off and get down on one knee and be trying to get his foot in another shoe and stuff like that. I mean, that kid, his feet stink. Hey, could you imagine if that was your job all day and you were only bringing home $30,000 with, you know, five kids and stuff like that? Nasty job. But fortunately, he was introduced to Legal Shield by one of his customers. One of his customers simply gave him some, invited him to lunch. He figured, that's fair, you know, I'll go to lunch. You bought some shoes for me, the least I could do to go to lunch with you before I tell you no. And he liked what he saw. He thought, you know, the membership makes sense, but I don't want to do any network marketing stuff. So he bought the membership. But when he came back from lunch, his boss told him, hey, things got busy while you were gone. So from now on, pack a lunch and eat it in the back room. No more leaving the store during lunch. He's been there 13 years, and his boss just told him, you can't even leave the store on your one-hour lunch break anymore in case it gets busy. And he thought, hold on. When is something like this going to change? If after 13 years I haven't earned the right to leave the building, what's going to happen another 13 years? And so he called the lady back up and said, hey, you know what? I do want to take another look at that thing you showed me, that legal thing. And he took a look at it and it made sense. And he then just said, well, you know, can I borrow this video? And he invited his three brothers over. And that's Chris, Mike, and Dave Hughes. All of them have done very well in the business. And all he did was he pushed play and let them watch it. And many of you have heard their stories on how, you know, we've created numerous millionaires out of that family. But isn't it interesting? It was just one lady that stopped into a shoe store that started that whole family of generational wealth. Well, a few years ago, Jeff and his wife moved from Texas to Virginia, bought a farm out in the rural part of Virginia, and we're just still just staying plugged in, doing their business, but really just enjoying being grandparents and a whole new phase of their life. Their kids were all leaving to college, and they just wanted to ride horses and hang out on the farm and play with the grandkids a lot when all of a sudden Jeff was in an automobile accident. And he was hit by a dump truck. Now, he was fine, but just as a precaution, they decided to take him to the hospital to get x-rays. Because, you know, sometimes you get whiplash, but you don't know. It doesn't set in for a few days or even weeks or something like that. Just as a precaution, they figure, you know, they have good insurance. We'll just go, just get a checkup. And on the x-rays, they found some things in his body that concerned them. They decided to look a little bit farther, and they found out that he had actually stage 4 lung cancer. He's never smoked a cigarette in his entire life, but he was close to dying from lung cancer. And it was a really rare form of lung cancer. And he had to take a step away from his business for almost a year and just deal with his health. And it was very scary for a while there. There was a lot of family prayers and fasting and stuff that went out for him. And for almost an entire year, he just focused on his health and tried, you know, some homeopathic things and everything else like that. And he eventually beat the cancer. But I want you to just think about it for 1 second. If all of a sudden you had to take 1 year away from your employment to go deal with a very serious life-threatening illness, what bills in your family would get paid if 100% of your income was now gone? When you think about, would the house still be paid for? Would the cars be paid for? Would there be food? Would you be able to still pay for insurance and all these other things? The wonderful story about Mr. Hughes is he still had an incredible six-figure income coming in that entire time, simply because he had built a team here with this company for the period of about a dozen years that allowed him then to take off and go focus on his health and still live an incredible lifestyle. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. He's back healthy again, and he sent me an email a few months ago and said, hey, I'm healthy enough to travel now. Let me know when you guys can use me in the Utah marketplace. And I said, as soon as possible. Him and his wife are just so inspirational. Just great, great, great people. And so we're going to have them out here. Mark your calendars down right now for February 16th. That's the Saturday that you're going to want to be here for that event. Now, obviously, I tell people every single month, hey, look, you want to get your tickets before you leave this room today. Sadly enough, there's a lot of people that say, I'll get one later. And unfortunately, things come up. Things get sidetracked. People get sidetracked and stuff. I know this much. When you have a ticket, when you leave here, you're a lot more likely to be here. There were a lot of people that left Oklahoma City last year and said, well, I'll see if I can make it to Dallas. In fact, some executive directors that I know said, well, I'll see if I can get tickets to Dallas. They didn't realize how fast that B2B class would sell out. And when the seats were completely sold out, they were scrambling. And I got numerous phone calls from some of them saying, hey, do you have any extra tickets to Dallas? It's sold out, and they're turning us away. They say, no. I'm like, sorry, I bought a ticket for me. I didn't buy a ticket for 10 other executive directors. I had people from California calling me saying, hey, can you hook me up? Mr. Sheba actually had an extra ticket, and I hooked up someone with him who got the ticket, and that guy was like, I think he's going to name his next kid after me for hooking him up with a ticket to that event.
David Damian.
It made that big of a difference. Well, you saw the numbers on the difference financially that it makes. I mean, 850% growth in some of these circumstances because they were there. And unfortunately, some people thought, well, it will be okay. I'll get one later. And the problem is there wasn't an opportunity for later. Tickets were completely sold out. And going into 2013, there's some incredible things that are going to be happening that will be slowly announced in a lot at Oklahoma City. And some of you will be there with us because you're going to say, you know what? Failure is not an option. I never leave an event leaving the next event questionable. I always make sure I'm covered. That's great. And it's great to always show up here next month. What I'm going to encourage some of you to do, though, is plan for success for next month. Don't say, hey, you know, I'm coming back with, you know, a ticket. I'm going to encourage you to get 2, 3, 4. In fact, if you decide to get 5, we'll give you 5 for the price of 4. Early on in my business, there's a few people that used to go down to the trainings in Southern California before we had Super Saturdays here. Every month we went to Southern California for our monthly training. And every month I left there with 5 tickets in my wallet. And let me tell you, my wife was not happy a few of those months that I came home with 5 tickets. But you know what? We made a 6-figure income our second year in this business. And one of the reasons why is every month we had a massive plan for success over the next 30 days. And the other thing is I had to make it work. I was like, man, I got to make this work. I've got to be successful. But I found myself talking to a lot more people when I had that sense of urgency. And I know, I've noticed over the last few months, especially a lot of new people that come in, they're like, yeah, I'm going to be here. And they grab their tickets for next month. And here's where I'm going to talk to that mid-range people, the managers and directors. They've been here a few years. And I noticed a lot of them just kind of like put up their walls and they've got a little bit calloused to the promotion of, hey, be here next month. And they're like, ah, you know, I'll take care of that at a later point. And they wonder why their business is stuck. And it's in a rut. It's not improving. It's, oh, you know what? I tried that once. It didn't work. It's like someone saying, hey, I tried a diet once. It didn't work. It's like Darnell Self saying, hey, I tried the gym once. It didn't work. Every year, we set new goals because it's a new year. It's new dreams. There's a whole new level of excitement that's coming in this business with the new leadership that they've brought on, the new trainings that they've brought on. Don't let your past be your future. This business, we were talking yesterday at lunch, I'm excited for about 5 years from now when I sit around with the other people on the cruises and the trips and stuff that we go on and say, do you remember back when there was only 200 people at this event or 100 people? You remember when our business briefings could all fit in just one little room at the hotel or the Salt Lake Community College? Because when momentum hits, it hits hard and it hits fast. But you can never go back in time and reposition yourself for that. You get one chance at momentum, at a tidal wave. You know, you think about some of the companies out there like Apple or Google or YouTube or Facebook and stuff. You can't go back and position yourself with Facebook. It happened, I mean, 5 years ago, how many of you were on Facebook? Couple of you? And today, I mean, tons of you are my friends on Facebook and stuff. I mean, we keep track with each other. Once it happens very, very quickly, and you can't go back in time. Well, we're looking at a product that's 80% market penetration in Europe. We're at 2% market penetration here in America. But yet, we've got a free market enterprise that would allow you to capitalize on this as it goes to 80% market penetration. As that momentum hits, as that critical mass goes through that growth phase, it's going to happen so fast. And somebody will say, man, you know, I was there 5 years ago, but I just didn't do anything. I didn't take advantage of it. I know this much, man. My why is very, very clear why I'm here in this business. It's not for anybody above me. It's not for my sponsor. It's not for their sponsor or their sponsor. I've got a wife and 6 kids. My why has to do with them. I will be here next month. I will be in Oklahoma City. There is nothing negotiable about that, period. I will have guests at the briefings and sign them up between now and then. I will market memberships. I will always be in Performance Club. It's non-negotiable. And people say, man, it'd be nice to be a millionaire. Are you willing to pay the price to be a millionaire? Or do you just want the title? Because if you just want the title, it's a wish. If you're willing to do something about it, now all of a sudden I can run with you. I can work with you. We can lock arms. But I won't slow down for the people standing on the side of the road. I won't pick up the phone and call them and beg them to come to success. Your sponsor, your execs, the people up here in the front row, they're running. They're willing to run with you, but they've got to see that you're willing to run with them. And if you get off track and you sit down in the ditch, they're not going to come and pull you out. They're going to say, when you get back on track, let me know. We'll start running together because they have dreams and hopes that we just cannot stop and slow down. So I'm going to invite you all to, don't say, I hope I can make it to Super Saturday next month. Make it non-negotiable. Failure is not an option. It's automatic. If you leave here with a ticket, you're locked in. But don't come back alone. Come back with a few other new people on your team. Tickets are available. Where are they at? Out here in the hallway?
Yes, in clarify
the address. Okay. Well, you guys are here. We put up a sign at the Salt Lake Community College, let them know that we were going to be here. And as of right now, we're still planning on being back here next month. Jeff's travel schedule, he's booking his own travel because he wants to do a few different stops around the United States when he goes on a trip and stuff like that. If anything changes, I'll let you know. But as of right now, follow the instructions on the ticket and the website and everything else like that. We'll make sure we let you know if anything changes. But get your tickets before you leave. February 16th, we'll see y'all at the top. Have a good one.